Hallelujah. Turn with me to Proverbs 23. Because, see, we've been talking the last few weeks. Last weekend, we talked about Isaiah 55. And out of Isaiah 55, where the Lord says that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. And we discovered that it was actually an invitation. It wasn't a taunt. It wasn't something saying, I got something you don't. It was an invitation for us to come up higher. It was an invitation for us to come into a place where we begin to understand him and relate to him as who he is. And then out of that begins to flow a change in your circumstance and a change in your situation. Because why? Because it's bringing you into the place of a tabernacle, of a testimony with him. Bringing you into the place of love being expressed in your heart because of him. Those were the things that we began to see in there. And then Wednesday night, we kind of took it a step further because we began to talk about the different voices that we hear. See, because thoughts, a thought comes and comes in you as a more or less as a voice. So see, the different ways of thinking begin to shape and change our destiny. How you think determines more about your destiny than the environment you grew up in. How you think determines more about who you become than any other factor in your life. Because two people can come from the same exact background and one succeeds and one fails. Because of the way they think. So our thoughts are important because, see, thoughts are the thing that begins to form. When thoughts begin to form together, that's how faith is born. When you have the thoughts that are coming into an alignment with a destiny that God places in front of you and within you, now you have a place where faith is actually coming alive in you. So it's a collection of thoughts. And here he says in, I'll just give you the verse real quick. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinks within himself, or man thinking within himself, so is he. See, our thoughts act as a gatekeeper. Our thoughts are the gatekeeper of our life. They're the gatekeeper of our faith. They're the gatekeeper of everything that we're going to do, good or bad. It originates in our thought. So it's necessary for us to be purposeful with what we're thinking. And we saw last week what happened, those for here Wednesday, we saw what happens when we're not purposeful with what we're thinking because see, we saw the results when we went back to the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, we saw that the serpent approached and he began to speak with Eve. And as he began to speak with Eve, she began to give an ear to a different voice. The only voice that had been heard in all of the garden before that was the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord, whether it was him speaking it directly or the voice of the Lord, whether it was him speaking it directly or Adam speaking to Eve or Eve speaking to Adam. Why? Because they would be mimicking the only thing that they had already heard, which was the Father's voice. If we're able to do that in our relationship one with another, just to mimic the voice of the Lord, how much different does it make our discussion? How much stronger does it make our relationship? How much deeper does it make our intimacy with him? Because why? Because those thoughts originated with the Father. But now the serpent comes into the scene, and for whatever reason, she chooses to give entrance to a different series of thoughts. And because she did that, now then fear began to enter into their hearts because between her and Adam, they both gave in to what the suggestion that was made. They partook of the fruit of the tree. We call it an apple, but who knows if it was an apple? It gives apples a bad name. But we see the deal is that she partook of this fruit. And when she partook of that fruit, guess what happened? When Adam partook of the fruit, guess what happened? Sin entered in. Because you began to eat and partake of the sin. And that shifted. Now all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord and the presence of the Lord in the garden, instead of being something that was warm and comforting and something that they were drawn to, became something that they were hiding from. Simply because they allowed a different thought to take precedent. A different thought was governing now their actions. And they began to hide from that which was once their source, their all, their everything. Isn't it interesting that all that happened because we partook of the fruit, and we can't just blame it on Adam. We can blame it on Tim. Sorry, buddy. You just spoke up right there at that second. So we can't blame it on Adam. Because why? Because all of us have partaken of the same way of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We've all partaken. I'll own up to mine. You don't have to own up to yours. We got Sozo for you guys. Hallelujah. But the thing is that we've all partaken in this in the same way. We partook of that tree, the one that resulted in sin. But guess what? There's a John 6 in your book, too. There's a John 6 in your book. There's a Galatians 3:13, which says that Christ hung on a tree and became the curse for you. In other words, he's the one who took on the sin. And so now when we come, he's the one who's hanging on the tree. He's the one who's a fruit hanging on the tree, because he says he's the first fruit. And now when we partake of him in John 6, we partake of the fruit of the one who is righteousness. And we suddenly, when we partake of the one who is righteousness, suddenly the sin issue is canceled out. There's no more issue between us and the Father, and our entrance to him is made sure. Because we partake now of a different system of thought, a different system of way, and a different way. And now that which was lost in the garden is restored into wholeness. Why? Because we're partaking of a different fruit. The fruit that you partake of. There was a lot of discussion yesterday, and yesterday was one of the most awesome days that I've had in my life. But there was a lot of discussion about fruit. But see, when we partake of good fruits, when we partake of the fruit of the good tree, then when we partake of the fruit of our Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who came and was the recompense for us, the one who came and reconciled all things on our behalf and became the sin so that we could come and be without sin. He's the one. When we partake of that fruit, now we can suddenly bear forth the fruit of righteousness and good work. Hallelujah. That was a good long sentence. That was a Justin-type sentence. Hallelujah. I did all that. Oh, my goodness. Come here. Come here. Give her a big... Welcome back. Welcome back. She's trying to sneak into the back. That's not going to happen. Hallelujah. Hey, Victory, we just want you to know you're loved. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Your thinking and your environment are related. when in the natural, when we were born, where we were born and the family we were born into determined a whole lot about what we think. But guess what? When you get born in the Spirit, it's got the right to overwrite those things that were already learned that didn't line up with what Christ has said about you and for you and where you're going. In the Spirit, there's a birthing process that happens that also does, because see, when we begin to birth in the Spirit, when we begin to receive what God has for us in the Spirit, we begin to think like He has given us to think out of the Spirit. Now then, that gives us the ability and the authority to speak into the environment and change it. Faith changes the environment. Faith changes everything around you. But see, faith is just nothing more than another system of thoughts that are lining up with the kingdom. When you allow kingdom culture, when you allow heaven's culture to invade your thought system, that was the invitation in Isaiah 55. When you allow that to invade your thought system, now there's a release into your life that looks like faith. We have, is there a copy up here? Somebody grab me a Framing Your World book, please. There we go, here we go. This will transform your life. It amounts to a system of thoughts that comes from the Word, a system of thoughts that originated in heaven, because it's all this is Scriptures formatted so that we can speak it about ourselves. When I first became a Christian, and even for years afterwards, I mean, lots and lots of negative things would come out of my mouth. But allowing this to be a daily routine began to change what was coming out of my mouth. And a big shout out for Sharon, because she also helped that process by telling me every time I spoke something that was negative. She was not embarrassed about it. She says, "Pastor Chuck, that's not right." She was on it, but it was a necessary thing, because see, the environment that I grew up in had a lot of negativity, and it took an intentional effort to begin to align myself with what the Word had to say about who I am and where I am, so I could begin to see myself through this lens instead of through the lens of the past. Because see, if I continue to live in the past, if I continue to let the past have its dominion, then what I do is I steal my future. But when I allow the Word of God to reshape, reform my thought, now I begin to step into destiny that He's already aligned for. This thing probably shaped the destiny of this church more than you can imagine. Page 11. He already knows what's coming. Page 11 tells us, see, because that's what we begin to invite. I am increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. My mouth speaks wisdom, and the meditation of my heart is of understanding. I continue to grow, waxing strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of the Lord God is upon me. And I can tell you this from years and years and years. I would get to the place where I was saying these things, and as I was saying them, I would actually step into a prophetic moment with God. But the upside of all this, it was because this chapter in particular on wisdom was something we began to invite wisdom. What do you think? How do you think all the revelation that has come out of this church that was born and baptized in those confessions and that invitation that we made to him because we didn't let up on inviting wisdom to have her perfect work? Wisdom wants to have her perfect work in each and every one of us. Wisdom wants to change our life. Wisdom wants to draw us in and bring us up into a place of increase. It's the nature of God to do and release increase. And all he's looking for is a way in. Here's his way in if we give it to him. Amen? Amen. Wisdom will have her perfect work. If you're going to say them, you don't have to say them all. Find two or three. Find two or three that are speaking to you that day. Find two or three that are working with you that week. It doesn't matter. And then just say those two or three. Weave them back and forth into each other until they just become one sentence and one melody in your heart. Because as it becomes like a melody in your heart, it begins to change how it's perceived in your head. But guess what? Big man's decision. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word of God. When you're speaking it, you begin to believe it because you're the one saying it. Wisdom comes forth. See, we have an invitation that we're giving. We have an invitation. This is nowhere where I was going. I don't know what I got. I got notes here for something else, but I can't even read it now. Glory to God. See, the fruit that I partake of determines my destiny, determines my environment. When I begin to do these confessions, it began to shift my environment. Then there came a day where I had done enough of the confessions. I began to believe and see myself for what he was calling me to be, because others were telling me, hey, I see you being a pastor. I see you being a pastor. Well, that was great, but I didn't see me as being a pastor. But then after enough time and enough exercise of the word and enough agreement with what the word has in it. See, for each and every person, it's going to be different because, see, the result is it already tailored to who you are. But in my case, I began to come into alignment with it. So then I wrote out a constitution. And as I wrote out that constitution, I began to lay forth the cases that were there, both in the word and in the history of revivals that have happened. And I put it on paper. And I'm seeing, what you're seeing here now is the product of the things that were said, the things that were lined up, the things that were dedicated and committed to and commissioned by. Because ultimately I was commissioned by the very constitution that I wrote. What that was a process of shifting my thoughts. A process of lining my thought up with what God had to say instead of lining my thought up with what the world had to say. Instead of lining my thought up with the priorities of the world system, I began to look and ask for heaven's system to be lined up. And I asked for heaven's system to be engaged and began to have an expectation that heaven's system could actually engage me. Guess what? God will use you. He'll use you to... And Maisie, you had no idea. No understanding when you started, but he's looking just for a place of agreement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as in John 6, when he was talking to them, and he was telling them that he was the bread of life. And because he is the bread of life, that they had to partake of him. What he was actually saying is, you need to partake of the one that is the living word. And as you partake of a living word, that living word coming inside you will change what's in your heart and will change what comes out of your mouth as a result. It will change what comes out of your life as a result. It becomes a light that will not be shut off. It becomes a light that will not be hidden in a darkness. It will not be hidden under a bushel. It becomes a light that just transforms the environment that it's in. We read that sometimes, and even knowing about communion and stuff, we try to figure this thing out in our logical mind, not understanding that he's just simply saying, put the word, the living word, the living Christ in you so that he can have the release of the hope of glory that he's been wanting. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. You know, faith works even when you don't understand it. I know I've been all holy here. Let me show you. Okay. Because when I was 16, a young lady drove a car through the smoking area where I was standing. I know, don't look at me like that. I was partaking, okay? We'll leave it at that. But I looked at this car and I said, I'm going to own that car. 9 months later, I owned that car. But see, I engaged faith without even understanding that faith was there. Why? Because every time I would see that car, I'd remind myself, I'm going to own that car. It didn't matter. See, in that situation, even though it wasn't, it was actually a good thing. It was an awesome car. but it wasn't necessarily a holy thing, but it was still an engaging of faith, even in that day. Because why? Because there's something in me went and attached there. But when we do it intentionally by what the word, the compass that the word is rising up in our heart, when we attach that compass where faith says to go, and then we will arrive of that destiny regardless of how we were, where we were to start with. He's wanting us to recognize the power of your thought. Because your thought will either leave you where you are or take you backwards, or it'll take you into something. Let's go in. And you have one who'll come alongside you called the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, who will take you on that journey. He will begin to give you the system of thoughts. He will begin to place within you the system of thoughts that you need to be looking at and beholding to take you in. Turn with me to John 16 real quick. I did at least prep that part. Glory to God. See, here's what happens. Holy Spirit is given to us. In verse 8, he says, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. See, Holy Spirit's whole job, his whole job is to conform you to the image of Christ. To conform you to who God says you are. To cause you to look like him. To cause you to look like who he's called you to be. It's his whole job. And he does that by convicting us of sin first and foremost. So we cut off the things that are holding us back. And then he convicts us of righteousness so that we can actually see ourselves in the way that he sees us. Because until we see ourselves in the way he sees us, we're really not going to respond to his word in the way he's looking for. But when we begin to see who we really are, Mike, when we begin to see who we really are, he's going to call us forward. And now he's given us something that's empowering us. And he's already given into your hand the judgment, because why? The enemy's already been judged. And so now he begins to convince us of our authority over the enemy in every area of life. Because if we're looking for it, if we're there, if we begin to understand who he is and what he's got going on in us, and we're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit now, he will basically take us right to the place of understanding our authority over the enemy. And no longer are we subject. Because you're not subject. The devil can't make you do it. But God is calling you. By his voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so we jump down. That's the background for verse 13 here. John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you to come." Here, come on. To come. He will disclose to you. It says, going further down, it says, he will transmit all that he has to you. What he's doing is rewriting our system of thoughts. He's rewriting the way we think. Why? Because now we're paying attention. So the word in Mark 4 says to take heed what you hear. That means pay attention to what you're hearing. Because if you're hearing the word of God, he wants you to pay attention so that now that you can begin to grab a hold of it and allow the Spirit of God to move inside you. Because when he's beginning to speak the word in you, you want to pay attention. And as you pay attention to Holy Spirit speaking inside of you, all of a sudden that thing that starts out as a seed gets nurtured. And that seed gets nurtured and it gets transformed, and all of a sudden it comes bursting forth. And when it comes out above the ground, it becomes like the mustard seed, becoming greater than everything else that was crowding it out before. That was like three messages in one sentence. Hallelujah. I think that's yeah. Say it again. Yeah, good luck on that. Hallelujah. when Holy Spirit, sometimes people, just okay, if you're going to teach, you know, sometimes you're just saying what you hear. Okay? I didn't actually process that sentence. I heard it and I spoke it to you. So I'll have to listen to it the same as y'all on the tape. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A-track. Well, at least with A-track, it's a loop. Hallelujah. So he's the Spirit of truth. And he will speak and disclose to come. The same as Isaiah 55. The invitation is to come up higher. The invitation is to let go of the earth system. And step into heaven's system. To let go of the earth culture and step into heaven's culture. The earth system wants to tell you a whole lot of things. It wants to make your life all about toil and trouble. That's not heaven's system. That's not the way it works in heaven. So we get to step in by faith. And when we step in by faith, there's a place in here where all of a sudden you'll understand, because you'll feel it come up inside you. You won't have to ask, Pastor Chuck, is this how it's done? Because all of a sudden it just comes alive in you. I can remember I would be walking in my office in that one. I would be walking, I was just saying those scriptures. I'd just be saying them over and over. And all of a sudden it would be like the whole room and everything that was in just disappeared. And all of a sudden I was just in this place of faith. And I'd be in a place of faith, and so somebody, unless somebody else interrupted me, like with a phone call or something, I don't know. Sometimes I could let that go on a while, but I'd be there and I'd just be just caught up in the word and in the price of the word and all this, you know, and then like the phone would ring and I would look around and I realized that, you know, the rest of the world didn't change as much as I was changing. It was a shock to have to come back and go, oh, I'm still here. This is not what I was experiencing just a minute ago. But, you know, out of that is the formations of faith in your heart. And out of that is the formations of what God is calling you to. It's your heart that he's wanting to touch. It's your heart that he wants to use. Because, see, as he has that touch in your heart, now he's primed you to release and touch somebody else's life. And ultimately, that's what we're called to bring change into this world, to bring heaven into this world. When we're praying the Lord's Prayer, that's what he's looking for, is heaven being released in this earth. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. Hallelujah. Okay, I think we're good for today.